Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we survived. We made it through season 13. We finally have a winner, and we are here to break everything down from both the air quotes reunion and, of course, the finale, complete with the lip sync for the crown. So let me bring in our fabulous panel with us the entire season. First, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you doing?
We did it, guys. We did it. We made it through the longest season in history. We are here. And I'm ready.
Yes. And of course, we have the fabulous Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing well. I feel like it's a huge exhale moment. Like, we did it. I had the right result, in my opinion. So, like, okay, cool. We're good.
That's right. Namaste, bitches. Oh, hey. So, you know, normally we do a little bit more beat by beat, going through step by step for our coverage of the show. But I think that it would just be appropriate. We don't want to bury the lead. The winner of season 13 is Miss Simone Simone. Yay. Woo! Which, it's so crazy to think that we're here with Simone being the ultimate winner, because in our preview podcast, she was number one. She was the queen that we felt had the strongest potential to go all the way and to take this thing home. And Beth, sure enough, it wasn't as straightforward as we expected, but we ended up getting the outcome that we predicted.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that Simone proved throughout the entirety of the season, not only did she have the chops and the ambition and just that extra je ne sais quoi about her, she also had the vulnerability. She had moments of, you know, tripping up in the competition. And I do think that RuPaul likes to reward that kind of person, because I think that at the end of the day, we have to remember this is RuPaul's drag race. So RuPaul is going to choose the person I think that he often sees as a part of himself in some capacity. And I think that he saw this the most in himself with Simone. But I'm happy he did. I think Simone really deserved the crown. I'm happy she won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amon, how do you feel ultimately with Simone as being our winner?
Yeah, I mean, we we predicted it, right? Like, Simone was like our top choice when we did our initial rankings at the beginning of the season, and I'm happy. I think that it's she's a worthy winner. She definitely has what Beth is talking about, the je ne sais quoi of it all. Yes, there were times of the season where it felt like it was like a march to the end, but I mean, she did end up in the bottom twice. There was a little bit of a bump to her road. But I'm excited that she won. And yeah, and shout out to Miss Lala Ree for getting Miss Congeniality. That was a pleasant surprise. I don't know why I allowed the narrative that Olivia Lux was going to be Miss Congeniality, but I just thought it was going to be Olivia. But no, bitch, they gave it to Lala. Her in her little bag dress. Yes.
That night when we were, okay, so for anybody who watched, because I definitely tweeted about it, my Instagram story was a little bit lit that night. I was watching with five other people. We were all vaccinated. We all get tested weekly. We only see each other, so it's safe. We're safe. It's not a super spreader event. But we were watching, and we forgot that it's not a fan vote. That it was actually the queens voting. And so I was like, is this a joke, Lala? That I remember that. The queens voted, and they have much more of an insight, and that probably made much more sense behind the scenes. And so that was really exciting. But yes, I'm happy that Lala Ree got Miss Congeniality.
Yes.
I think that really says a lot for maybe what we didn't get to see on camera.
I think for Lala Ree, because when that got announced, so I had the same thought. I was like, oh, but the queens vote. Okay, that makes way more sense. Okay, right. Of course, which I'm very happy became a staple after the whole like voting hack thing that happened a couple of years ago. Ooh. And so it was season 10, right? I think when it got hacked. Well, whatever. Anyway,
it got hacked, and then the queens just voted in Monet.
Yes. Because they couldn't figure out how to like secure the voting again. So what a mess. But to have Lala win, it then brought me back to all those moments in her confessionals where she was really funny. She was really fun. The whole ball moment when Tamisha does the, oh, Utica's never heard of a ball. You've never been to a ball. Ah, gag. Yes, let's do this. And Lala is going for it. Super happy, super peppy. And I think that we got to see glimpses of that on the show, but obviously the queens got that 100% full force. And so it's nice to have that rewarded, even though it may not have been part of the whole narrative for her. But yes, yes, happy for her. She also won in the, again, air quotes, reunion, the Golden Boot Award for the worst look of the season, which is iconic.
And also deserving.
Yes, very deserving. But I love
I hope that they continue the Golden Boot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, it's memorable, right? It's better to be memorable, okay? You don't want to be forgettable. It's the worst thing you can do on reality TV. But okay, so I think, you know, the reunion was interesting in the way that it was structured because the queens, only the final four queens were there. And mm-hmm. that was, I think, an interesting choice. I mean, obviously they had to do it, I guess, for safety reasons or whatever, but it made for, I don't know, the whole finale felt a little awkward to me. Maybe it was because there was a lack of audience upon or because there was only the four there. It just felt awkward.
Yeah, I thought that there were going to be more people. I thought there were going to be people in the seats, you know, I thought that because we saw people tweeting, like I saw Aquaria tweeting about how she was getting ready for the finale and everything. And so I thought I pictured, you know, a safe, socially distanced theater. But no, it really was just Rue, which I mean, I'm glad that they were in the theater. I would have much rather prefer they do this than them shooting it on the main stage, because that to me just feels so like I want them to have their moment. But it did sort of feel a little stunted at times because you're wanting that reaction, and it was nice to have the drive-in. I think that the drive-in definitely is indicative of the times. It's something that's memorable. I love the fact that Jada Essence Hall was out there with a little mic and mm-hmm. you know, working the crowd and everything. I thought that was a nice way to sort of, you know, explain what we're going through right now. But it did feel a little, the air got taken out of the room just a little bit sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think mostly the air got taken out of the room with, I felt like mostly the lip syncs and the, because I think it's hard to do those lip syncs without reading off of the energy of the crowd. I think that that's something that we have seen in the past. And
the lack of like the other judges being there, that felt like, because we heard Michelle's voice all night, but she wasn't, it just felt very like.
Yeah, we did get to see like, you know, we're Ross and Ross. Yeah, Ross. Oh my God. Let's just say Cross.
Cross.
Yeah, we're Ross and
Ship it.
Ooh. Were Ross and Carson like in the cars? Like, were they there? Where were they? Yeah. Like, it would have been, that would have been like,
they?
Cool. I have no idea.
I don't know.
And at this point, let's put Lonnie Love and, you know, it just would have been like T.S. Madison. Yeah, T.S. Madison. Like, there's all these wonderful, I'm having a moment. Just so many people that I feel like we could have checked in on in like the different drive-in area, like have Jada go and chat with them. But you know what? I think that it is what it is. I loved the drive-in. I love that they had like all those different kinds of light bars and such on all the different cars. They had some really cool looking cars there, which you expect out of LA, but I really, really loved it.
Yeah. And in case you didn't know, it's sponsored by Bubbly.
Yes.
I didn't notice.
I had a friend of mine that thought that like Bubbly was an alcoholic beverage because it's during Untucked and they always give them alcohol during Untucked. And like she bought a box of Bubbly and tasted it and was like, what is? I'm like, girl, no, it's just water.
Bought water.
It's just water, baby.
Those are not like you bought it at the
grocery store. Like you didn't get it at a beer distributor.
Did you get carded? No, then you're fine.
That's true.
Okay. So you know, obviously we ended up having the ball, the looks. We'll go through those. I want to talk about some moments from the interviews, but I really want to talk about the lip sync SmackDown first, because even though it's only the last 20 minutes or whatever, it's obviously the most important part when it comes to ultimately deciding the winner. Although this year, I was just overall underwhelmed. I am nervous to critique the queens because they didn't have the audience. And I feel like, Beth, that's so, like we were just talking about, that the audience is so critical. So I was rewatching a few times and trying to differentiate between, do I feel like this is low energy because there's no audience, or do I feel like this is low energy because the queens aren't giving the energy?
I feel like we have to remember that they're on a much bigger stage than what we're used to seeing on the runway for a lip sync. And they're also used to lip syncing at least in front of five people plus the crew. And this time it's just RuPaul making the decision, No one else seemingly is in the audience. Mm-hmm. And so, Andrew, you have this big, big stage that you have to cover. So I feel like all of those elements just make the lip sync seem small and have a smaller energy to them. Plus, you have to I just thought about this, kind of made me giggle. You have to imagine that while they're lip syncing, all they can hear behind besides the music is maybe RuPaul's going, like, that's it. With like little giggle moments or like, like, you know what I mean? But, so just imagine trying to perform Britney Spears and that's mm-hmm. all you're getting for some kind of feedback. So mm-hmm. I definitely think that not having an audience there really, unfortunately, kind of messes with the performance aspect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, oh, go ahead, Amon.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like also, okay, don't get me wrong. I love me some Britney Spears. But Till the World Ends is the last song. Felt like also a weird show. I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to do here in this moment is I want your guys' help to figure out why I felt so awkward in the lip syncs. Why was I like, I was not like, yes, let me get off my seat. I rewatched all of the lip syncs that we've seen so far. I rewatched season 9, even though I probably didn't need to. I've seen that a gajillion times, 10 and 11, to try to put it in context. And I felt like there were moments in the other lip syncs, and I don't know if it was the song choice or the performers, the audience or what it was, where I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. And I maybe had that once when Simone had her little head thing like pop out in the final lip sync. Other than that, I was very underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed, baby. No, yeah, no, I think that there are like multiple things at play here. Like, you know, the famous video from Jasmine Masters, RuPaul's Drag Race is fucked up drag. Sasha mm-hmm. Velour has fucked up the lip sync for your life. Like, I feel like you. She has just... It's all about the reveal now. Like, it's everybody is anticipating getting that major wow factor, which, yes, those are great moments, but they don't have to be the end all or be all for a lip sync. Also, I agree with you, Liana, and I love the fact that they are, they decided to go with Britney Spears for all the lip syncs, but I think that they lacked the storytelling of the songs. Mm-hmm. How about you either start off with something early or end with something early? Like, we need the Oops, I Did It Again. We need the Hit Me Baby One More Time. We need the song Christmas were just a little, I still didn't even do Lucky. Like, if anything, like, it was like the song choices were just a little off. And on top of that, yes, like, I feel like the queens that we have, hardly any of them, with the exception of Candy Muse, because I'm going to throw Rosé to the wolves as well. I think they just aren't. They don't have that punch and they're not performers the way that we are used to seeing, you know, queens perform. I think that Rosé is great, but I think that she does sort of like lack a, it's technical, you know what I mean? It's very like, I'm going to perform for you guys because I am from New York and yes, and I love her and she's great. But I think that there was no question that Candy beat her in that lip sync because of the fact that there was like a certain sort of passion that Candy brought to the stage that, and also people were telling me that Rosé apparently she had like a leg injury, she had a limp or something, mm-hmm. so that has something to do with it as well. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that all these lip syncs were kind of just like you were waiting for like a moment, and we didn't really get many of those, with the exception of, I guess, Simone and her hair. So mm-hmm. yeah,
I have been a long believer that if you can't get a lip sync that is not just about a reveal or a stunt, I want to see a lip sync similar to All Star 2's finale, which is about emotion and soul. I want to see a Latrice Royale singing Natural Woman. Mm. I want to see something that really gets to the core of who that person is on an emotional, vulnerable level. And yeah, the stunts are a lot of fun and such, but, and I think, I don't know, like, you want that excitement, but at the same time, like, have those be the first two lip syncs and make the last lip sync really be something that's about, like, I would have loved if one year they do like musical theater, three songs, and the Ooh, last baby. One, and you do like the last one is Everything's Coming Up Roses from Gypsy or something that just has like a powerful female character. You know, if you're going to repeat songs, which they're clearly going to, because they already did Work Bitch in season 11, I think, or maybe it was 12. I don't remember, but they already did Work Bitch. So like, why not? And I'm telling you, like, I mean, come on, like, there's so many wonderful things that you could do here. And like, I just totally agree. Like Britney Spears is not the music you put on if you're really just like, oh, I really want to get into an emotive feeling. You get it on when you want to get, you know, ready and pop in and all that kind of stuff. Or you put on some Cascada or, you know, whatever, if you really want to get going. But I really would love for them to consider either getting rid of this, because I actually am not a big fan of lip syncing your life for the crown, or making sure that they go back to the basics of what lip syncing is, which is making you believe that you're the person singing the song, that this song is about you emoting a feeling. And we have moved so far away from that with the show with lip syncing that I really don't even consider what they do like to be quote unquote lip syncing. It's just like performing a song with stunts and dances. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm. At fear of being attacked by the fandom, I have grown to appreciate the lip sync for your life on rewatches, because when I rewatch, so even Sasha Velour is so emotional. Yes, there's the flower petals part of it, but really what that lip sync, the strength of that lip sync is the build, is the ones in the rose petals that are in her gloves as she slowly builds the final reveal. But it's in her physical manifestation of that feeling, of that emotion, that allows the reveal to be so impactful, because it matches where she's going on that journey. Mm-hmm. Aquaria in the Bang Bang song in the finals. The moment where I think she wins that is when she nails the Nicki Minaj lip sync, because she's connecting with you. She's looking right like at the camera and gets everything down. Whereas you can see the other two, a little bit of more marshmallow mouth going on, but she nails that then with the cannon, like confetti cannon thing that comes out of nowhere, because it matches where it should be in the song. And we criticize her for that Jiffy Pop reveal in the first one, which, yeah, of course, you get the criticism there. But there are moments and elements that I think match what you guys are saying in terms of what we would want the lip sync to be. Unfortunately, we remember the Jiffy Pop. We remember the dead butterflies. So sorry, Asia. That moment is still like, it's so bad. I can barely watch it.
She knew it too. Oh my gosh, she looks so defeated. Even before she got eliminated. Oh my god, it was so bad.
The best moment of that will forever be Cameron Michaels at the end of the lip sync looking down.
the dead butterfly. Fabulous Queen, Asia's Drag Race, but still. Evie Oddly in Edge of Glory slowly builds to then the reveal of when she starts to sway back and forth, does the turn, and then the back flip with the, then builds and then has all this energy and emotion. And so there are these moments when I look back and I rewatch that you can tell that there's this thought process into embodying the song. And just at the moment having like such a hard time with this one, because I didn't have that at any point in time where I felt like at least during all three seasons that we had the full lip sync for your life, there was some element of that I could like grasp onto is no, it's justified for this reason, because I got this, because I got to see this. And this one, I just didn't feel, I just felt like it's just, if you can't do it fully, like don't do it. Maybe.
Or if you do have a reveal, don't let us know that you have a reveal ahead of time. Like, I think we're coming in now expecting that it's going to be like, if you watched if you watched Simone and didn't realize that, you know, fake Afro was going to be a reveal at some point, if you didn't know that there was something going on with that tall wig and this, which I thought was cool, but there, and I loved her outfit when she had like the Timberlands and all that kind of stuff for her first lip sync, but like you knew that everybody was going to have a reveal at some point, and they all did, but it was all expected. When I think of reveals that excited me in final lip sync, like Brooklyn Heights being on point the entire time when she pulls those chains. What? Like,
yeah, that's
kind of cool. Those are cool moments. Sasha Velour. Yeah. You didn't expect that she was just going to like take off that wig and there would be rose petals and such. Like those are the kind of things that like, make sure that your gag, your stunt, whatever it is, to your point, Liana, matches the buildup of the song. It's not just, and here's a drop down beat where I can go, wee, and now I have a different outfit. Like that isn't as exciting. Make sure it matches. And that's why, like, unfortunately, even if the Asia O'Hara butterfly thing did work, like they weren't cold and they were able to fly, which was unfortunately the issue. They were cold, so they didn't fly.
Oh, so they were cold?
They were cold. They were kept too cold so that they wouldn't fly. So they were keeping their body heat in like this.
Oh.
And if they had been at a proper temperature, they would have been able to fly around and all that kind of stuff. So
I always thought it was they were too hot because the stage lights.
I think that probably it went from way too cold to way too hot, like really quickly. Mm-hmm. But regardless, like not many of them survived anyway. But I do think that even if that had, I know it's so bad. Even if it had worked, that didn't match any of the Janet songs that were available for the first round. Mm-hmm. So like find something that is going to match what you're going to be emoting. And even if it's a cool concept, just remember that, like, just remember Asia. Like, honestly, like a cool concept can go bad or it cannot match what you're trying to do. So I think that that's ultimately what it is. But
Yeah. And I think, you know, here, so like, let's say, okay, so we have the SmackDown. The first is Work Bitch with Candy and Rosé. Which, you know, Rosé had the reveal where she like had another just like bodysuit underneath. And then Candy also had like the thing underneath. So it was like neither of those, they were fine. But
I think another thing that I noticed with some of these reveals is that it was like at the wrong time, because like, I mean, neither reveal was spectacular, but I still feel like, why would you, like, I feel like Rosé, because Rosé did hers before Candy did. And it was like such a weird part of the song. And I was like, you need to tell your story. Like, the storytelling of some of these reveals are just very wonky. So it just makes it even worse, because you're already not really expecting anything that grand. And then when they do it weird, it's like, you could have at least like let me like imagine a little bit longer. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a good point. Think about the Peppermint versus Trinity lip sync, where Trinity does her reveal so early and Peppermint waits to do the wig and the dress at the same time and throws the wig at Trinity. It's my favorite thing in the world. She just throws the wig at Trinity and then does the clap. Anyway, also Britney Spears, so I'm putting that out there. I mean, it's all about the timing, to your point. It's all about the buildup, to Liana's point. You can't just like come out here and be like, end of first line of the song, new outfit. Like, it's just like, no.
Yeah. It makes, because like, what that makes me do is think that you got another reveal coming. I'm like, oh, she's getting off early, so there must be something else. Like,
yeah.
That Peppermint one's so good. Sorry, I'm just thinking about it now. And that's the thing, it hits exactly at the right moment. And then, when she like leans over, she's like,
I love Peppermint so much.
It was iconic. And the two outfits were both so ugly, but I didn't even care because it was like so fun.
Oh, yeah. That's sorry, Beth, yeah, what you just described was pretty much Peppermint's legacy on season 9. Everything was so ugly, but we didn't care. except for her Club Kid run, right? That will forever be, I think, one of my favorite run.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, that was really good. Okay. All right. So let's get into this first lip sync, if there's anything specific. So to talk about Rosé briefly, we do find out during the interview portion of the finale that she sprained her ankle a couple months ago. And so she is sort of dealing with this injury, which could explain possibly, maybe a little bit of the lower energy here. But Aman, I feel like you had feelings about Rosé.
Was it just the ankle, baby? Like, I don't know. I just feel like,
yeah,
maybe there's just some larger things at play here. Maybe she already got a contract for All-Star 7. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. I just feel like, I mean, we've seen Rosé do better before, and I just felt like I think that they wanted this whole gag of Candy beating Rosé and making it to the final two. But like, even then, I was still like, not even like, I was like, well, this isn't really a gag-worthy moment, because looking at this lip sync, obviously Candy won. Like, I don't know. She didn't bring the fight that I thought that she was going to bring. And it just,
I feel like they spent so much camera time on Candy that it was hard to see Rosé. Like, it was one of those lip syncs where it was just so heavily one-sided to who was being shown. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't necessarily 100% blown away by Candy either. I do think upon a few rewatches, because I have watched them all a few times, that I do agree that Candy won that. At that night, all my friends were like, how did Candy win? Because they wanted Rosé to win. And I was like, okay, well, that's your bias in here, just a little bit there. But it also, like, I just wasn't blown away by either of them. I felt like it was just so underwhelming. And I was like, honestly, if I was RuPaul, I'd be like, neither of you. It's just an automatic final two between
neither of you survive that lip sync.
You know, I think with Rosé, I think part of it might have been the ankle injury. But I also think the writing was on the wall. I really don't think there was anything that Rosé was going to be able to pull out or do that was going to give her the crown for RuPaul. And I think that if we can see that, I know the queens see it, you know? So have either of you watched the final four, watching the final episode and seeing Simone as the winner?
I've seen clips of it.
Okay. So I watched the 12 minutes of it this morning. Mm-hmm. And when it gets to that lip sync, it gets really solemn in the room. And Candy immediately grabbed, because Candy's sitting on the couch with Rosé and she's like grabbing her hand and rubbing it. And at the end of it, like nobody really congratulates Candy. And they're all like, "We're so sorry, Rosé." And it came across to me like they knew what was going to happen, that Rosé wasn't going to go farther. You know what I mean? And I do think for storytelling reasons, like Amon's point, like I'll be a conspiracy theorist. I think that they absolutely wanted Candy to go up against Simone. I think that made for a better story. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's honestly what happens.
Candy's whole journey to me just feels very, we're talking about it all season. It feels very produced. Like even RuPaul during her interview with her was like, "So why is Candy in the top four?" I'm like, "Bitch, that's a question for you, not us. Like, you did this. Like, why are you acting as if this, like, there are larger forces at play that handed Candy a position in the top four? You did that because, I kind of hate that he asked that question, because to me, it sort of revealed that, yeah, okay, so you also know that what you're doing is kind of strange. Like, saving her in that double Shantae was unneeded. Also, the fact that she has one win versus all these other girls having multiple wins, like, why is she here? Like, it felt very like you were like admitting to us that it was like, "Girl, I know. I just like Candy." If at that point, just fucking say that then. Like, just be like, "Girl, I like Candy. I wanted her to stay, and that it is what it is." Like, it just felt very slimy to me. I didn't like that question at all. I felt like that really put Candy in a really awkward position. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because it just makes Candy seem like she's egotistical or something. It absolutely puts her in a bad place. But continue your thoughts.
The one thing that I love is that Candy has been so gracious with all of this for a very long time. And I feel like because she knew that she was getting a top two. I mean, the season got filmed how many, you know, months ago. So she knew what was coming. And this entire time she has been very, very like, "I'm that bitch." She still has that confidence for herself. No matter how many people are going to hop in her DMs and her mentions and like try to tear her down, she's still like, "Look, like, I did what I came to do. Yes, I am in the top two and you're going to deal with it." And I also like the fact that she is vocal about being delusional, because she knows that she talks her shit. She knows that sometimes she might be in the wrong. She knows that sometimes she, you know, might present herself in a way that makes her seem bigger than what she actually is. But she's very aware of that, and it is what it is. Like, I'm Candy Muse, and it just is what it is. So I just appreciate Candy as a person for being so gracious and rolling with all the punches, because it really does feel like RuPaul just like paraded her down the street for what reason. I don't know, more power to Candy. That's all I gotta say. I chose her as my number one favorite for a fucking reason, and I stand by it.
And I mean, we've talked about this, that doesn't help her perception with certain fans, because then it's like it devalues her actual talent, because you feel, and Beth, I think, has mentioned this before, that then she's brought along for reasons that aren't because of her talent, which makes it feel like, well, then she's not talented. She doesn't deserve to be there. It's like, well, you know, she's still a great queen. And I think she did the best out of a lot of these queens in terms of the lip sync performances this night. So, yeah, I don't know. The interviews also were a little awkward. Like when it started with RuPaul being like, "Yeah, I didn't expect to like you this much, Gottmik." And Gottmik's like, "Oh, that's kind of rude."
Like,
RuPaul, there's some.
Oh God,
does he have to go? I think he might have to go. I don't know, like, what it is. It's just like every year, it just gets worse. It's like, what are you doing?
Oh my God! But then when Rosé also clapped back with the whole like, "What? Oh, Ellie, the only thing I know how to, yeah, the only thing I know how to say is Lawrence Cheney," and Rosé's like, "Oh, I have one for you,
Ellie Diamond." That to me, I think, was the best part of all the interviews, was that exact yes. moment.
But that moment also, I was like, Rosé knows she's not going to win. She's she's going to do her best, like, stir up some shit while she's here.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. So I felt like that was a little produced. Like, I don't,
what,
I
think the Ellie Diamond part.
Yeah. I don't think that was like her clapping back at Rue as much as it was like set up as that.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Because
it came across to me like RuPaul was in on the joke or was like setting her up for it or something. But I don't know. I thought it was really great.
I laughed too. Like I was, by the way, yes. I did watch the finale
my Who friends, are they rooting for?
They were all like most of them. So it was my friend, one of my good friends' mom, and his dad, and the next door neighbors are actually really, really big fans. It was so cute because we walked out, we got out of the car, and because we got to the house as the neighbors were walking over to the house, and they saw us get out of the car. They're like, "Oh my god, you guys!" They didn't know we were going to be there. It was so cute. They're just, you know, middle aged New Jerseyans. It was so great. But yeah, they were most, like, I think all of them were Team Simone, except for my friend's dad, who was like, Candy Muse all the way. All of you guys are haters. I was like, yes! Like, it was so funny. But yeah,
that's too funny.
Yeah, they were, I forget what my original point was. What was I saying? I forget. Whatever.
The interviews, something. I don't know. Whatever.
It'll come back. Whatever.
The other thing too, to touch on, like, how the lip syncs were organized, because going into it, I, you know, and I think we had kind of all agreed that it was a little bit of Gottmik v. Simone. Mm-hmm. So when Candy and Rosé went up against each other, I kind of didn't really, I was like, well, it doesn't matter because I still think that it's either going to be Gottmik or Simone. So I feel like whoever wins the second lip sync is then going to ultimately be our winner. So when Simone won that one, I was like, okay, well, Simone's going to win the season, you know, done deal for me. Mm-hmm.
Candy, in my opinion, would have had to do something so amazing to overshadow Simone in that moment that she wins. Cause I even think that even if she had quote unquote beat her in the lip sync and it was like by a slim margin, I still think they would have crowned Simone over Candy. Mm-hmm. Because unlike, I think, the first round of lip syncs, I do think the second round of lip syncs really does take into consideration the resume of the season.
I just feel like there was so much money that went into this finale from all the queens, because they had to rock three fucking looks, which I loved. I love the fact that they gave us three like feasts to dine on. But it did sort of like make it feel like the runways, lip syncs were sort of like afterthought, because they were they were much more focused on looking good at all the runways. So
I'm frustrated by that, because I wanted a ball at the final four, fine. So I'm going to kind of get it here, but it felt like I wanted either more time spent on the ball and like not on the lip sync, or I want more time spent on the lip sync and do the ball at the final four, because it 100% felt like an afterthought. And even with the outfits as well, it just felt like they were so focused on the ball portion of it that then the lip sync portion was just like you said, a bit of an afterthought.
I felt the same way, and I kind of wish, because those outfits were so epic, that was maybe a deciding factor. You know, something like that would have been great. Otherwise, I love that they had a moment to like showcase what their designers and costume constructioners and themselves had put together. And I love that. A little bit of tea from what I heard, and I don't know if I've spilled it here before or not, is that Rosé's costumes were not done by the time of the finale. So she had to have her costume designer flown out with her. World of Wonder paid for her there. And so there is a conspiracy theory in the back of my head that's like, I wonder if that first round lip sync outfit was the one that wasn't done. Focused so much on the ball stuff, but she didn't get the rest of her stuff done. Like, maybe there was supposed to be a second reveal. I don't know. But
yeah, no. Maybe.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, let's just touch on the other two lip syncs real quick, and then we can talk about the outfits. So obviously we had Work Bitch. Candy ends up winning here. I thought Candy deserved to win the lip sync, although I was, I had a little bit of an expectation that Rosé was going to take it. But, you know, when you actually watch the lip sync, I think Candy, ultimately wins that one. And then we get into Gimme More with Simone and Gottmik. How did you feel, Amon, that these two queens did?
We were all kind of nervous for Gottmik because we only had one lip sync from her in the season. So it was relative. Okay. Maybe I'm being a little bit too hard on Simone because I'm trying to because obviously she won, right? And she has such an X factor about her. So maybe I need to open up my, open up space for someone like Simone as a lip sync artist to be the winner of Drag Race, because she's not one for the dips and the flips and the twirls and the curls, but she does still gives you Simone. There's a level of personality there that comes across in every single, it's like a through line for all of her lip syncs. So I think that she definitely beat Gottmik here. I think that Gottmik did a really good job. I mean, she came out and gave it to us, because I think that she was well aware of the fact that a lot of people were Gottmik doesn't lip sync. So I think that she was very aware of that, and she did her best to give us a show. But I do think that Simone ultimately beat her. I still was left wanting for something more. But maybe I'm just being a little bit of a greedy bitch, and I just want I'm expecting these bitches to be Beyonce and Gaga, and they're not.
Yeah. Oh my god! Same. If they did Telephone.
That would be so
why
fun.
There has how many times have they done Gaga? It's been what, once or twice? I'm surprised that there isn't more.
It's
Gaga
probably
on
because
show.
Of the Beyonce portion of it, because I don't think they can get rights for Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonce's easily. Shit is that shit is locked up in a vault somewhere.
All I'm saying is if they really shell out some money, what they should have done for this finale was just say, Beyonce, come on. We need to have three Beyonce songs for the ending here. Not that I don't love Britney Spears, but just imagine how much more powerful it would have been.
Yes, yes.
Iconic. I think it was also the specific song choices for Britney in this finale also.
Work Bitch was fine. The other two I was not here for.
Yes, I agree with that. So I would say for this lip sync, one of the detriments of the way that Gottmik paints her face so heavy, it's so clearly gorgeous defined. But when you're trying to emote through the mask, you can't see anything because she's painted so well. And I think that Simone, you can see her face moving in ways that you can't see Gottmik's because she's so clown white painted gorgeous. But unfortunately, I think that is a detriment because with Simone, I could see the emotion on her face a little bit more clearly. So I think that was something that really drew me in when I got to see the more of the close ups of Simone's face. So I think she deserved to win here. Yeah, it's what I look for. It's what I love. And so even though Gottmik was bringing the splits, that didn't counteract for me that sort of lack of emotion. Not that she probably wasn't giving it. It's just it's hard to see through the paint.
I also have to say that I think that both the Gottmik and Simone reveals, or at least how their costume changed, was much more interesting than Rosé or Candy's.
I agree.
I like that Candy went from, I will say, I don't think that people knew that Candy had a reveal because it didn't look like she had one. So I will give her points for that. And I did like that it went from white to bright colors. So that's cool. But I just think that Gottmik's turning into that wonderful train skirt, half skirt. I forgot what it's called, but it that was gorgeous. And I loved Simone's, again, taking just wonderful little bits of Black culture and turning it into high fashion, but just doing it in a reveal was so cool. I loved those reveals. And I do think that if Candy had to go up against either Simone or Gottmik, I think that would have been much more of a toss up for Candy. If it came down to the reveal, for example. I completely agree with you though, with the emoting thing with Gottmik. I think it was really hard to get her. First of all, how do you emote with Gimme More? I'm just putting it out there. Gimme More. You're just act horny on stage. I just like, what do you do? Like, that's what people are doing anyway. So
Again, I think bad song choices. Yeah. Okay. And then let's talk about the final lip sync that we get here, which is Till the World Ends with, of course, Simone and Candy. Again, the song choice, I think, left a little bit to be desired. I thought
You don't end on this song. You gotta end with Oops or Baby. Like, it's just not.
I don't know if it was like, oh, COVID till the world ends. The world is ending.
maybe.
But either way, ooh. I didn't necessarily appreciate the choice. Simone's reveal there, I thought Beth was pretty, I knew for sure that the coat was gonna come because mm-hmm. the previous reveal where she had just pulled off the wig and it was a second wig, the fact that this wig stayed on but had things inside of it that popped out, I actually did like that.
No, I liked it. That was cool.
I would have wanted it to be all yellow though, because it was kind of hard to see with the background with it, parts of it being black, the little part that like popped
out. I also think, honestly, and this is my one criticism of it, it looked cheap as hell. Like the little stream stuff. Like, I really wish that it didn't look arts and crafts came out of her.
It looked
wig.
Thin and cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I wish that it had been thicker or maybe a different material, something that maybe would have made it be like, bam. Mm. Imagine, because you know a Thailand drag race queen would have done this. Imagine if whatever she did to make that pop up was like instead a confetti cannon that popped out of her hair or something like something like that would have been so cool. I mean, I only say the Thailand drag race one because like a queen literally lit herself on fire. So like, I mean, those queens just go all out. But I just feel like something like that would be like so interesting and amazing. And I just felt like it was cool. You were like, oh, this is cool. Okay. Like that's what it was for me. Yeah.
And in comparison, but Oman, what did you feel about this last lip sync?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Simone's hair. I thought that was was obviously a nice touch. I did feel a little bit underwhelmed by Candy. I was just like singing her praises, and then she comes to this lip sync, and it's kind of like, oh, what's where's the next bit? But I think out of the how many lip syncs was this been? Three, I think. Out of all of them, this one was the most fun for me to watch, actually.
I think this is, in terms of emoting and everything, I think this might be one of Simone's best, though. She was really intense. She really brought the passion. And even though we don't like the song choice, I mean, she didn't just do the Simone-isms. I mean, she really was saying, like, till the world ends. Like, come on, give me that
crown. It was something different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I liked about it. You know, after seeing 700 lip syncs this season, I felt like we got something a little different at the right moment for Simone.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Well, congratulations to Simone, the winner of season 13. I'm happy for her. I'm sure we'll see Gottmik back at some point. Probably Rosé, maybe possibly even Candy back at some point in the future. So I think this is not the last time that we'll have these queens on our television.
They will be back. Candy will be back. They love Candy.
All Star 7 is just going to be season 13, part 2. I have a feeling.
That sounds about right to me. Okay, let's go through the ball looks briefly, because like we talked about, I do think that this is where a lot of the energy was put into when it comes to the looks. So we'll go queen by queen. The categories for the ball were black and white, red all over, and then the, you know, grand finale extravaganza look. And Gottmik, like she does pretty much every week, really brought it to the ball, I think, here, Aman.
Yes, I loved all of these looks. Like, Gottmik is, I mean, she's brought it to us every runway. That last one with the caged heart, oh baby, like she tweeted something about it. She thought, talking about how it was like, it was very, 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 very heavy, and it looks like it just looks full of stuff. So I loved all of these looks. The second one, just the asymmetry of it all is just so enticing. She did the damn thing for all these runways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the message on the second one too, Beth, I really appreciate trans rights or human rights.
Trans rights mm-hmm. are human rights, fight AIDS, crash the system, like all mm-hmm. of those wonderful little messages that she's been promoting. And obviously, if you're going to do a red runway and you're in the LGBTQ community, having something that's talking about fighting AIDS, I think is so important and so powerful. I think she did the best with all three. That's not to say I don't like some of the other outfits. You will hear me sing her praises, but she went bald for the Hellraiser look here in the first one, and it's a gorgeous outfit. I love the like square bag. That's like really fun to me. I don't know why, like just like that little detail to me was really great. I love how over exaggerated the hips are. Like in the third outfit, like, yeah, they're over exaggerated hips, but you can tell it's the construction of the dress. Here, it looks like it's her actual hips are just over exaggerated. It's beautiful padding there. And then you have a completely different body for the second one, which is a little bit leaner and straighter, but the outfit is the thing that does the curves. And I think that just understanding how to play with what does your body do and what does the garment do and vice versa, she's just an expert at that. Her paint, obviously, is just amazing. Her nails, everything was just absolutely gorgeous. I loved all three. And I have to say, when she came around with that last outfit, this is, I think, probably one of my top three runways I've ever seen on Drag Race. The other two being the Fifi O'Hara Future of Drag look and Violet Chachki's coming out as the crowned winner, giving the crown to Bob the Drag Queen. I mean, this to me is that level. It's so good.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Candy Muse. I guess Candy Muse does gowns now, as we were told. I think for me, I love the peacock feathers in the last one. I love the BLM statement for the first one. The second one is also fun. I mean, clearly, I think really all the queens killed it. There were no looks that I was like, oh, I actively don't like this. But it was so hard. Her coming right after Gottmik, because I felt like it almost put her a little bit at a disservice, Amon, because it was like Gottmik and then Candy still looks gorge, but like it's Gottmik. So
yeah, it did. Yeah, it was sort of like, oh, we're going from that to that. But I think that she does have like her own like sense of style throughout all of these looks. And I love the second one so much. I love when, I mean, cause Drag Race is already a super self-referential show as it is. I love it when queens reference themselves and, that homage to her first, appearance on the show just really was like, oh my God, we've come so far. Cause you really have, cause the show's been on for like half fucking year. I liked it. And I loved seeing her in the last one cause it was so opulent. You know, and everything, bitch. I love it.
I agree with I liked the references of the second one. I think it's better than what she did for a lot of her runways. I don't like it for a finale ball look. But that is just my opinion. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do love how she looks in it. I love the like headphones and the box, and just I love all the gold accents and hoops and those kind of things.
At first, I thought that little boombox was a little purse. I was like, oh my God, is this like some Olivia Lux tribute right now?
She just held it like this. But when she came around the corner for the first look, I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen Candy like this. And then the second look, I do like that. I'm like, oh, this is Candy. And then the third look, I was like, oh, I've definitely never seen Candy like this, but it's still Candy. I really like the construction of the dress in terms of like shape. And I love the peacock feathers and the head, dress and how she painted the gloves, all that kind of stuff. It comes across as a little 80s prom, like with some of the material that doesn't seem like it matches her style, nor the style that she's kind of going for. So that to me, unfortunately, just is a little distracting. But other than that, I definitely think this is, first of all, the best ball that Candy's done on the show for sure. But I think these are three really strong looks for her. I just probably wouldn't have done the second look for a finale ball. I think this would have been really strong and would have been a winning look in a normal season, but I just don't think, especially I think coming after Gottmik with such a powerful message on hers, it just rang differently for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so next we have Rosé, which I think all of these were finished, right? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Rosé was able to finish all of these. You know, of course, with the black and white coming out with the My Fair Lady reference, which I thought was really cool. And then, of course, her Scottish heritage, which, okay, this is going to sound so stupid, but when I was like, I knew she was born in Scotland, but then her parents had Scottish accents, which I should have known, but just like threw me for a second. Because I was like, oh, right. But anyway.
She's proper Scottish. Scottish.
Yeah, like, oh my god, like, actually Scottish. Yeah, I think she looks gorgeous. The middle one I was just a little bit confused about. So Beth, I don't know, maybe you have some insight on this.
I have look. No insight. I didn't like this outfit, the middle one.
It looks like the gloves don't fit her. Like, don't fit her arms. Maybe it's not finished.
I know. Well, I know that she's trying to be she did make that lovely rooting kind of thing, like it was a throwback to Kimora Hall or whatever. So I, like, as soon as she said that, I went, oh yeah, okay, a tree. But then I was like, I would not think tree with red, like, unless you were doing, like, if it was pink, maybe I would do cherry blossom or something like that. I couldn't get what she was going for. I thought it was unique, but again, similar with Candy, I don't know if I would have done this for a finale ball look. I don't get it myself. The other two outfits I thought were outstanding.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And I love how she has grown with how she paints her face. Cause I think a few weeks ago, I did say that I was quite critical, especially of how she wasn't able to soften some of her features. And I think that especially in that last look, oh my gosh.
Oh, I know. She looks gorgeous. Really soft, really, really soft too. Mm-hmm. But Aman, were there anything about these looks that stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, they are all certainly very diverse and, you know, show different bits of personality. I don't know, maybe there's just something about Scottish fashion. And I know that this isn't a representation of all Scottish fashion, but maybe I just don't like the way that Scots dress. Because the last look to me is just like, what is going on, girl? I don't like it. I like the second look. I take your point though, Leon, about the gloves, because they do look a little overgrown.
Yeah. Just like a tree.
And then the first one is my favorite. I love all of the bows. I love how dramatic it is. Yeah, so I appreciate that one a lot, but definitely not my favorite from Rosé. Out of two of these,
I mean, she got to make a walking in nature Tammy Brown reference, walking the children in nature. So I did like that, but yeah, I thought the first look overall was my favorite, and then I actually did like the second look, and then the middle one I didn't quite get. I think Gottmik also was just so good in this category, and I think Simone also really nailed it. So it was tough, I think, on my opinion of the other two, but to jump on over to Simone. Loved this. I loved all three of these for her, Aman. I think she just slayed it. Loved it. Love them.
Listen, those bandanas. I was like, she's always carrying a story or a narrative with whatever she puts on her body. I loved it. And the fact that the hair was done by Gigi Good just, you know, really just brings it all home, literally. I love that first look. The second look, I feel like we've seen that before. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we've definitely seen her wear something similar to that.
She's worn a lot of things similar to that, yeah. Not the hair, not, but the
pole. Or the nail. But she hasn't done the nails. But the shape, we've seen, I'm
yeah,
sure.
We've seen the shape before. The hair definitely, of course, was like the centerpiece of the outfit. So like, I don't want to like throw shade on it, but like the general, you know, silhouette we've seen before. That last look, baby, all of the Grecian gods. I loved it. I loved it. It was giving me both like Greek goddess, and it was also giving me a little bit of Aurora Monroe. Yes, Storm. I loved it so much. Yeah, she brought it. She brought it. She did.
Okay, so the little black dress look.
There it is.
Oh, like, put them right next to each other. So yeah. Similar with the triangular cutouts, a little bit different, but I mean, shape on the bottom, relatively similar.
Yeah.
But I thought that the doing the nails and then the detail of the hangnails like on her feet, I thought were really cute. The earrings also matched, but the first look, the fact that the hair silhouette shape also matches the bottom silhouette of the dress, that repetition I think is really cool and really pretty. And it's like a weird element of symmetry. I just think she looks fabulous. Yeah. I mean, probably if I had to rank them, I'd put the second one last, but that's mm-hmm. just simply because the other two were so iconic. And then the last one, I actually, part of me wanted full looks of both halves also. I was like, I want to see the full armor. Yeah. I want to see the full, like, Greek, you know, side of things. But I was really impressed with Simone. And this, to me, solidified when they came out, we saw the looks, because that was at the beginning of the episode. It solidified for me that Simone and Gottmik were the two that I wanted to see in the final two, if I had my say. Obviously, the wheel spoke and said Damn something wheel. Different, but in my head, I think this still solidifies their dominance.
I loved with the first outfit that it's kind of 2D. So it's her hair is flat and her outfit is kind of flat. So when she turned around, it was flat, just like it, like she's holding it right there. And I actually, now that I'm looking at it, I don't know if she's really holding it as much as it's just propped up like that, because it looks like her hands are just kind of floating on top of it. But I loved that. Play around with a plane. And I guess that's really going to get me, because I was like, oh, cool. It's similar, I guess, in the way that, like, when Detox came out with, like, the gray and white illusion, like, black screen kind of thing, that, like, playing with the idea of your reality, the plane that we're on, those kind of things is kind of cool. So I loved that aspect on top of the bandanas and just like this aspect of potentially Cruella de Vil in there with like the fur and like all this other stuff. I loved all of that. The second one I thought was, I agree that it was the weakest in terms of execution, but also told a story and like was fun. And I loved the fringe and I loved the color red. I love the hands holding the ponytails and the nails, like you guys said. And that last outfit, I instantly thought of, there's that cartoon where it's just where they're talking about, it's something like Midas and Medusa find out that they're not a good match for each other. And like, they've like shaken hands or something, and Midas has been turned to stone and Medusa has been turned to gold. So mm-hmm. like, it just was like, oh my gosh, it's like both of those coming together. But I love what Simone does with telling a story through fashion, and Gottmik does it too, but they do it from their own unique, beautiful perspectives. And to your exact point, Liana, I mean, this Rose to me, I thought did an amazing job. I thought Candy did an amazing job, but these two told stories with each and every look. And if I could have had a choice, it would have been Simone Gottmik in the final two as well.
Yeah. Okay. So the one other thing I do want to talk about with the finale, is there anything from the interviews you guys want to touch on? I feel like we kind of went through everything, the lip syncs, the looks, all of that. Cory Booker was apparently related to RuPaul, which I, I was like, okay, yeah. I love me some Cory Booker. That was nice to see you.
I think they did like a little 23andMe and found that out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so funny. I didn't mm-hmm. know that until the finale. And I was like, somebody made like a reference to, Coco Montrese's roast character from season 5 being also their cousin. And I was mm-hmm. dying laughing at that. So I thought that was great.
That's good.
Yeah, I loved seeing Gottmik's parents be so supportive. And of course we got to see Rosé's family be supportive and Simone's and Candy's and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there was just something about Gottmik's parents that really, like, I teared up. It's really beautiful to see that kind of support. And I hope that we start seeing more and more LGBTQIA plus families be this kind of supportive, even if it takes them a little while to adjust to it, remembering that it's not their child's issue, it's your issue that you need to work through. And it mm-hmm. sounds like her parents really took that to heart and are just out here repping and supporting Gottmik. And I love that. And I really, really hope that we continue to see more of that as we see more validation representation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this finale was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster, because I think a lot of those moments really touched me. But then especially the Chi-Chi Devane tribute, which I'm so, 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 so happy that they did. But yes. I for sure cried, because yeah. it's it was so heartwarming to hear the other queens talk about their experiences with Chi-Chi and to take the time to remember her, I thought was just very touching. And I'm happy that was something that was on the show.
Yeah, me too. Like I left my mind, her passing, because so much happened in 2020, like mm-hmm. y'all know, like, mm-hmm. So it's just to get that little piece of love for her. And yeah, she's going to be deeply missed. I just, my heart goes out to her family and everybody that knew her and worked with her. Like, she seemed like everyone has such kind words to say about her. So yeah, rest in power, Chi-Chi Devane. We love you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Likewise, what both of you said, and I'm really happy that we got to hear from queens that aren't necessarily like who you normally hear for Drag Race. Mm-hmm. They really went to the people that are closest or were closest with Chi-Chi. I mean, Kennedy and Chi-Chi were attached at the hip. And so to hear a lot from Kennedy, who I know was deeply affected by Chi-Chi's passing, was really great. And I would just, if I could take a second, please support all of those queens, not just the ones that get the most media presence. Support your local queens as well. All of them were local queens at one point. But specifically, support your Black local queens, your queens of color, those that just need more support nowadays. If you have the resources to buy their merchandise or tip them or go to shows, or even if they're virtual, please do so. Tweet about them is free. I mean, really, Chi-Chi made it onto the show because of local support, and look at how we all benefited. So right. That's what really struck me thinking about it after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really great point. Okay, so that does it, I think, for the finale. I guess we have to at least touch on the reunion for a brief moment. So it was a Zoom reunion, which RuPaul says, we might not be back to normal, but we're back to sickening, which I thought was a poor choice of words.
Yeah.
What was that? But I will say that was definitely not the weirdest part of the whole Zoom reunion. So if you didn't get a chance to check out the reunion, which I hesitate to call it a reunion because a Zoom reunion, but they never were all together. It felt like at the same time. The only time the queens were actually interacting with one another was in these small segments of only one or two queens asking each other questions from the fans, like fan feedback, which felt super canned, super awkward. RuPaul was just reading generic lines from a teleprompter.
RuPaul was like, segue. Not even talking to them.
No, that's what I'm saying. RuPaul was never the host of the Zoom call. Okay. RuPaul didn't even set foot in that Zoom call. It was really weird. I appreciate they also gave each of the queens a chance to produce their own sort of musical number. So some of the queens did lip syncs of, you know, songs that are out. Other queens took advantage of that and were like, I'm gonna push my own music. So good on you, girl. Get that coin. But it just felt awkward.
Yeah,
it wasn't really a reunion. I don't know, yeah. But I watched it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it felt very, very strange. I wasn't the biggest fan of the season 12 reunion, but I would have much rather have seen them just do that. Like, if you were going to go through all of this trouble, then just have them in a Zoom room and let us see a little bit of the banter, even if you need to edit that down. Mm-hmm. It didn't make much sense to me that they were able to sort of like put together this reunion or this finale. But they couldn't also, like, why not just bring them back on stage at that theater? Mm-hmm. Like, they're all going to be tested or whatever. And if they're not tested, then they can fucking stay home and you can put them on the fucking Skype call. I don't know why we're, that's not a reunion. That's just a, I don't even know what to call it.
The one thing I will give them props for is that every queen got to speak and we got to hear something about them in particular, which mm-hmm. doesn't happen at every reunion, specifically right. those that go home like second, third, fourth, hardly ever get a chance to really speak. Yeah. So if you look at like season 10's reunion or season 9, you really don't get to see anything because they're so involved with the drama that happened later in the season. And normally they will make a point to say something about the first queen eliminated. But if you're the second queen, you're like the most forgettable queen on the season, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like we got, because I think that's a good point. But I also, I was drinking while I was watching, so I don't remember everything. But did they, because I remember it during the preview or the, yeah, the preview of the reunion, Tamisha Iman was talking about how her and Candy would never be friends. Did they have that conversation on the reunion?
They asked
Candy during the finale if she and Tamisha have spoken. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, we haven't, but I've moved on and I don't hold any grudges or anything like that. And I know, and I can't remember if it was on the reunion or just something else I've watched, but Tamisha Iman has also said, and actually, no, it was during the reunion. Tamisha said, no, I haven't spoken to Candy. I don't wish her any ill will.
Okay,
but
I'm ready now.
Like
that. Yep.
But I haven't spoken. Okay. Tamisha did say, though, that if the cameras weren't there, she would have hit her.
Which she did say that.
I don't condone physical violence, but I did, like, laugh at that. Like, oh, God, Tamisha, like, think about the life that she's led. Anyway.
I don't think she's coming back for All Stars now, because she has been talking about how she cannot wait for this contract to be up so she can tell us everything. And I'm like, I thought she would. Like, what's going on?
Oh my God. I can't wait for her to get like interviewed by Willem, and it's going to be like a whole drag race dragging session
with Pearl. Yeah, I did like that. And it was nice, I think, especially because the season was so long, to have the revisiting moments. Like we, with Elliot, not with Elliot, with Joey, when she was like, Ivy bag. I had Ivy on my cup. Like, she clearly still didn't even get it after the fact, which was just,
no,
so funny.
She got it. I'm gonna still support her on this. Ivy bag. It doesn't have to be poison ivy bag. She could have poison ivy, but it's still ivy. Like, it still makes sense. I will support Joey about this to the ends of time.
And then Joey, for her video, like, did a full NSYNC cosplay, which was also amazing. Just really, really enjoyable.
It made me remember that I couldn't remember Joey Fatone for a long time. I was going, who's the last one? I kept saying Howie, but that's Backstreet Boys. And I was going, who is this one? Who? And then I had to remember, unfortunately, and this is unfortunately going to be Joey Fatone's legacy, I had to remember Fat One for Fatone. And then, Joey. That's right.
Let's see, what else? There's, a few other things. They did the finalist, like, 69 questions thing that felt very also scripted. Although Rosé calling the season the never-ending story made me laugh.
I thought Rosé's answer to pretty much every question made me laugh. Like, I was like, oh, you're not going to win, but I really love everything that you're saying.
I think Rosé was funnier than we were allowed to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think so too. Yeah.
Okay. I think that does it. It feels so weird to say, I think we're done. Let's close that book on season 13 and put it in the past, bitch. We are done.
It's so funny, like, the hesitation to even say that. It's like, is there something coming else? Like, is
there something else?
Well, they did say,
I don't know about.
They said All Star 6 coming soon. They never said the date. And I was like,
I'm shocked that they didn't announce a premiere date for that. I thought for sure it would be like, in one more week, All Star 6, Paramount Plus. But I guess maybe they're giving us a little bit of time, which, you know, I'm grateful for.
It might have to do with the fact that Down Under is starting next week. So they, or this week. So they're probably in the same way that they didn't start UK Drag Race. I wouldn't be shocked if it's like 1 or 2 weeks after that. But I don't know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wait, when does Down Under start?
May 1st.
May 1st. Okay. All right. I'm going to be 100% honest. I think we're going to take a little bit of a break from coverage of Drag Race. But we will do some Down Under coverage at some point, if it's just like a one-off, depending on when they end up. Like, if they 2 days from now are like, oh, and All Stars is in 2 weeks. Okay, well, you know, we'll do some joint coverage. But for now, RuPaul's Drag Race team here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups is taking a brief hiatus But do not worry. You will get to see our wonderful faces. Here are glorious, like glare. Oh, glare. Or whatever. What a glare. Back in your ears soon enough. So keep a lookout for us on your podcast feed. You can subscribe to the podcast feed either through Reality TV or Hap Ups or the Drag Race feed specific. So if you are interested in doing that to keep up with all of the Drag Race updates, we would really appreciate that. Otherwise, you can check out our Twitters and our social medias, which, Beth, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at AugustaWind11 on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitch, where I am streaming kind of not only my weekly Meltdown stuff about BB Can 9 coverage, but just generally popping on when I can, play a little Animal Crossing Among Us, Dead by Daylight, those kind of things. And you can also catch up with my other podcast, Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zahner, where we are discussing The Nanny and Lost.
And Amon, what about you?
You can follow me at Amon Abwin on all platforms, including Twitch, where I'm also just bopping around, reading Harry Potter, playing video games. I still have my podcast with Matt Ligori, The Choir Room. We are still in the thick of it all with all of our character analyses. And yeah, that's it.
And you can follow me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. I'm podcasting about The Masked Singer, still going strong with Puya, which is always just a good time and a fun show. And I think we'll probably be doing a little bit of Lego Masters coverage with my sister and I, just a couple one-offs, but keep an eye out for that if that's something you're interested in. That starts, I think, June 1st, so a little bit of time before that. If you would like to end the season by giving us a rating of how we survived, how we got you through the season, we would absolutely love that. So go to robhasawebsite.com/dragrace to leave your ratings and reviews online for us. We'd really appreciate that. And man, that's it. So thank you, Scott, for everything behind the scenes. And we will talk to y'all soon for All Star 6. Maybe Drag Race Down Under will be around. Okay. Okay, bye.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.